Here we go.
KFNC, Mont Bellevue, Houston.
The very best days.
ESPN 97.5.
Except no substitutes.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is Ho.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Travis Johnson, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Hey, one in the books, two to go. It doesn't move very, very slowly when you're having fun. It moves, and it's got a little pace, and it likes to go, and that's what we've been doing. I mean, it doesn't seem like we even put an hour in yet, Trav. It's like, well, free money. Well, actually, we are giving them free money by the way we're doing the show. But at the same time, we're giving them quality content, and hopefully people keep jumping on board. We've got 2 hours to go. We've got plenty to talk about. We haven't hit the NBA yet. We haven't hit the NFL yet. We touched a little bit on college football. By the way, Auburn, who, for all you SEC hopefuls, is still up there, still has to play Alabama. So we'll assume that that's a loss. So they'll drop. Alabama, I don't think anyone's going to budge them from the top spot.
No.
They look like they're playing on a different planet. So we'll give the SEC that one. But LSU still has to play A&M. A&M just got a cupcake, I think, because Chad Kelly, the quarterback of Ole Miss, tore his ACL out for the year. That makes them a totally different team. So that doesn't look like to be that daunting of a task. Otherwise, I had said that might be a tough game for A&M, especially because we don't know Trevor Knight's condition, because he got dinged up.
He got dinged up, but he's having a hard time even throwing the ball.
Yeah. So we'll see how that all plays out. But college football right now, that's why I always say we'll talk about it at the end of the year, because there's still so many big games to be played. The SEC is still playing each other, and they're eliminating each other left, right, and sideways. So, yes, they're still having a down year, and I believe you believe the same thing. So if you have a problem with that, feel free to tweet us, text us, or call us, 713-780-ESPN, or hit us up on Twitter. NFL weekend, basically a lot of parity. Now, I saw something today that was interesting. ESPN was kind of, and I would hope this is just fodder to try and get people to stay tuned in, but they're asking, are the Chiefs the best team in the league? I mean, Andy Reid's won 10 in a row at home. You're supposed to win your home games anyway.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I don't think anybody looks at the Kansas City Chiefs and goes, well, gee, there's a team that is Super Bowl bound.
Well, every year, you got to think about it like this. When Andy Reid was in NFC, for the most part, when he first got the job, I say from the time Donovan got there, at no point did you ever think they were out of it. Like, at no point did you say, the Eagles ain't nothing. But then, when he got to Kansas City, it all of a sudden become, at any point, you can't say Kansas City's not a good game. Kansas City doesn't have the potential to get to the Super Bowl. And they don't have the potential to beat a whole lot of people. Their defense is good enough, and their defense.
Now, if their defense is healthy.
Yeah, when their defense is healthy, they're good enough to beat
the
Patriots.
You get Houston back, you know, Tom Bahali and all those guys.
You got all those guys. Yeah. They're good enough. Dang, this thing stinks. But
people can't see what you're smelling, and it isn't me, by the way.
Yeah, no, it's not you, but it's
your mic screen.
It's the mic screen.
Which is why I now bring my own, thanks to
Ben. Yeah.
Yeah. I'll show you where they keep them. You can get one.
Yeah, I need to get one, because this right here is it's like,
we're not going
to
call anybody out like the Blitz would about who sits where, who did what.
No, yeah, it smells like earring backs.
I don't know that I've ever smelled an earring back,
but it's not a good smell.
Okay,
but you know what? At no point do you think Kansas City cannot be beat. Like
Charles isn't playing.
Yeah, he's done. I think he's ACL. I think
that's what I mean. He's out. You know, their running backs have been by committee. Macklin, I don't think, gets used the way he should be used. Alex Smith is a game manager. He does a good job of it.
Yes.
But from an offensive perspective, I don't think they scare anyone. But defensively, their defense keeps them in game.
But I don't think you have to scare anybody offensively. I think if you're a team that does what you're supposed to, and like you said, you got a game manager, you're not a guy who's going, you know, he'll push the field if he has to, and he has the arm capable of doing it. But he's not a guy who's going to go out there trying to bomb you all day long. But at the same time, if you make a mistake, it can burn you. And to be honest, I'm not going to say they're the best team in the league, because right now the Patriots are still out there.
Yeah, I was going to say
that. And the Patriots are a real deal.
Yep.
But I would say you have to talk about them in your top three or four. as far as and
well, that's that goes back to the parity thing because the Steelers looked awful. Ben tried to play.
The Raiders look great.
Raiders are 7-2. I don't think anybody saw that coming, but I think that the Texans better look at engine number 9 coming down Chicago line heading to Mexico City because when the Raiders come into town, that's not the team that, you thought they were going to be when you saw the schedule at the start of the year. I can tell you that. I can assure you of that.
They aren't your uncle's Raiders. They're not even your older brother. You know what? They're not your older brother's Raiders. These Raiders right now are playing. They're playing sideline to sideline football. Is it discipline? No, but it's in Raider fashion. The Raiders have always had.
So according to ESPN, the top four teams in the AFC, five teams: New England, the Raiders, the Chiefs, the Broncos, who looked bad last night, and the Steelers. Giving the Patriots 99.8% chance of getting in, and giving the Chiefs better than 75%.
Look, I swear, somebody over there must be listening to our show.
Yeah, everybody should.
Everybody listens to our show.
Most people listen to our show and then use it on their shows, what happen to be on different networks.
Yeah, I got a few friends at the big networks that happen to actually download the app.
Which are smart people.
And they listen to it from Bristol, so that's pretty cool.
I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good. It's better than that podcast thing you do. You should just make sure that they just stay tuned into what's really important, which is the actual broadcast.
Yeah, but our podcasting is awesome. It's awesome. We're going to have Peter Work on this week.
For those of you that don't remember that flash in the pan that wore the Cincinnati Bengals covers, because
he was hurt.
The Seminoles.
He was hurt.
Look at me, though. I remembered it.
Yeah, because he was hurt. Because he's also one of the greatest college football players of all time.
Now, people don't realize, too, because we do need cameras in here because we are sexy and seductive in the way we speak, as well as soulful and with bass tones. But because we don't have cameras in here, you don't realize that Friday I surprised Keenan by wearing his Buccaneers jersey when we did Friday's show, and he didn't see that coming. And coming out of break, that kind of caught him off guard. So today for you, I brought my old Florida State Warwick Dunn jersey out.
Yeah, it was awesome.
And gave you a little Knowles love, but that was back when I could have played nose guard instead of free safety.
Nose guard is a bit of a stretch, but...
I was larger back then. That jersey fit a lot tighter. So I could fit three people in it now.
What was the heaviest you were?
I would say about 237 to 240.
So you could have been a good junior varsity nose guard.
Or like a linebacker or something.
No, junior varsity nose guard.
Okay, fine. And Nick's laughing in there. He weighs $125 wet.
By the way, for all you people wondering,
and because we got into that conversation last week that Travis was very upset about, he couldn't come to the rescue of Nick for getting sucker punched. Nick is in the process of changing his Twitter handle from No Hit Nick to One Hit Nick because he has taken one hit and it did rattle the cage a little bit, but it did not knock him out.
Or got hit Nick. Were you dazed? Or were you just confused?
A little bit. So like I got back up immediately, but I wasn't.
So let me get. It was a black guy, white guy, Mexican guy, Asian guy. Who hit you?
It was a brother.
It was a brother. So, I mean, was he a brother? A brother, as in a brown skinned brother, a black skinned brother?
I don't know.
Was he dark skinned, light skinned? Let's
try. Why does that matter?
I just wanted to know because I wanted to know because it could be a hate crime, man. If he hits you a certain type of way, man, black guy hits a white guy, or you look real Talibanish, you know what I mean? It could have been.
Oh, see? I was worried about it going off the rails with Keenan and Barry, and we just went straight off the rails.
It could be a hate crime. We could find this guy and prosecute.
You literally just said he looks Talibanish.
He does a little bit.
Oh.
That's why I love him.
Scott in Deer Park, we got to get back to football in a hurry. Please bring us back talking about crappy football. What's up, man?
Hey, what's going on, man? You know, Joel, you keep talking about parity. And I'll throw this to Travis. The football is just not as good as it used to be. These guys are not as good as they used to be. I think since the new CBA, they don't practice as much. And I'll speak to myself as, you know.
You're talking about NFL, Scott? Talking about NFL?
I'm sorry?
Are you talking about NFL?
Yeah, NFL, yeah.
Okay.
Just NFL in general. They don't get near the practice. The CBA won't let them do it. If you watch that Pittsburgh Ravens game, I know you don't want nobody coming up around your throat to slow you down. That's all these boys can do. It's just, I think it's not parody anymore. It's just not good football anymore, let's say you.
You hit the nail on the head. I mean, it started with the CBA, and I think where they have everybody fooled is crap on craps might look good to the naked eye as far as, cause they'd say, oh, well.
What are you, a janitor? When does crap on crap look good?
I mean, but here's the thing. To the person who doesn't know the game, it looks good. They say, oh, they got a Steelers uniform on. Oh, that crap over there has a Broncos uniform on. And to them, that's putting on those rose colored glasses to where it turns crap in all of a sudden. Now it's your riches. Well, when you look at what the CBA has done, they've gotten a lot of the veterans out of the game because the way the CBA is set up. Yeah, they was like, oh, we're going to lower the floor for what rookies and young guys can make. We're going to raise the floor for veterans. Well, all it did was push veterans out and put more young guys in. So now you don't even have the veterans to teach the young guys how to play the game. And the teams that continue to win are the teams that play with the veterans and say, you know what? I'm not going to worry about what the salary cap is saying. I'm not going to worry about having youth. I'm going to worry about winning games, and that's when you get teams that play that much better or look that much better than the other team. Because right now, the CBA is terrible. I mean, when you look at DeMaurice Smith, he was terrible as far as he still is as a guy, and Roger Goodell's even worse. So, I mean, the CBA wasn't done great. It wasn't well done, and it's affected the game. It's affected the product, and I'm just glad some fans are now starting to see how bad it really is.
So essentially, if it's crap versus crap on the field, and you just clearly define that it's crap and crap in the negotiating tables,
yeah,
it's just a bunch of crap.
It is.
Well, unless we want to spread fertilizer, we've got a problem on our hands. Travis, when he comes back and talking about all that crap, Scott, great call as always. Thanks for chiming in. Sorry you didn't get a chance to talk about U of H, but not. At the same time, if it is crappy, but yet New England is still taking guys that are their arguably best player and shipping them for third-round picks and expecting to just fill in the gaps, I want to find out, because I know there are several players that have said because of the way they do business, they would never play for Bill Belichick or the Patriots' way. I want to find out if Trapp would be one of those guys. We'll talk about that more, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Oh, how you shine, blushed on your lips.
Well,
it's more than the wine.
If we're going to do karaoke with Trapp, you got to get the lyrics right.
Something that I didn't do. Whatever he's doing, it looks good on you. You look so good in love.
Hey, man, George Strait was a lovemaker, man.
First of all, George Strait could run for president, or at least governor of Texas, and win.
No question.
No doubt about it. Until he smelled the back of earrings.
Hey, well, I mean,
you got a whole bunch of people. Even Lauren turned up on, like, what are you talking about?
Hey.
You got pussy ears.
No, leave your earrings in for a week.
I don't have them to. Nick, do you have this problem ever?
Never.
Thank you, me either.
Hey, Nick, do you have earrings?
No.
Obviously, if you said never.
Hey, so here's the thing. If you ever leave them in for too long, and then all of a sudden, like, you're like, damn, let me take my earrings out. Because my earrings, I forget them in my ear. And then all of a sudden, it's been wearing them for a week. And, yeah, you clean behind your ears, but it's that little bit of dirt that's still in between that little. And it's one of the worst smells in the world. It's like one of the worst. Like, it's one of the worst smells in the world.
Okay. I'm glad we figured that out. I don't know that I ever needed that. But at the same time, we got that covered as well. Now, before the break, I teased this because I know guys that played in the NFL that because of the way the Patriots do business and because Bill Belichick, which you can say all you want, everybody says, look, give him his props. He created a dynasty. They win. Now, you can say that he cheats. You can say that he tries to break the rules. But you can also say that off the field, he seems like as crotchety a guy as you could ever. The only thing I've ever seen that's humanized Bill Belichick is that NFL deal. The NFL Network did that Football Life where they did like a three-part thing on Belichick outside of the office, and it actually humanized him a little bit. But I really want you to give me your perspective, because a lot of times, look, based on what you were saying about salaries and the salary cap and how everything was done with DeMaurice Smith and Goodell and everybody else, if it worked against the veterans, right, and you look at teams like, say, Tennessee, take teams that aren't like in a swaggy part of the country.
A swaggy part of the country?
You know, warm weather, great real estate, lots of things to do and see, great scenery. and you got to go out and try and get free agents or attract veterans to come play with you, and you're not exactly winning on a regular basis. And then you take New England, who wins so consistently that they feel like they can lowball guys and say, hey, you should be coming here to win. And then at the same time, if they feel like, even though you got them till the end of the year, a guy like Jamie Collins is a guy that, hey, rumor is he might want big money at the end of the year. Well, that means we should ship. And there was more to it. I absolutely believe there was more to it than that. But if you don't do it the Belichick way, they'll ship your ass to Cleveland. So then New England comes calling and they get these veterans for dirt cheap. And they say, hey, you want to win a championship, you come play for us, but you play at our price.
Yeah.
It just seems like that would rub people the wrong way. Would you play? Would it interest you to play for the Patriots if you were still playing?
Yes.
It would.
Yes. Because, I mean, one, the winning, two, the structure. I don't mind it. You know what I mean? Because playing for Mickey Andrews, it's everything else is easy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I wouldn't have minded at all. You know, the Patriots kicked the tires on me for about a couple weeks, and then actually they the one told me I had disc issues in my back, to be honest with you. So I would actually, I love the thought of it. I love the prospect of it. I don't mind that.
Even if they made you an offer that was ridiculously low compared to anything
because
else.
I would have took, I mean, you take league minimum at, when you're at that point in your career, you take league minimum for the simple fact is you don't, you're not playing for, if you've made good money,
mm-hmm.
you're not playing for the money. You're playing for the years and the prospect of winning the title. Because at the end of the day, when it's all said and done, yeah, you're going to make money. Regardless, yeah, okay, they're giving you $1 million for 17 weeks. You're gonna take it, but you're gonna take the years because the pension years are even better.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because now instead of having 13 years, you'd be able to go out there for a couple years and get 15 years. And if you're a good, I mean, you gotta look at guys like Kevin Falk, who played in that system and was great in that system.
A long time in that system.
Played 14 years, yeah. And everybody's sitting there looking like, "Who's Kevin Falk? Who?" Well, he started. And played in all those Super Bowl teams. He was one of the.
There's a reason why Tom Brady wants him in their Ring of Honor or whatever they call it, because of the fact that they knew how valuable he was.
They knew how valuable he was. Yeah, could he have went somewhere and maybe made a lot more money? Yeah. Could he have went somewhere and went to Pro Bowls? Yeah. But the fact that you got 14 years of getting paid, yeah, maybe it might not have been the highest time, the highest paid guy in the league, but you got paid comparable to what you were doing. You won 3 titles. How many guys can say they won 3 titles?
Right.
You know, that stuff accounts for something. And I mean, even when I look back, man, and Willie McGinnis is like a big brother to me. And Willie loved playing in New England. He loved that atmosphere. He loved Bill Belichick. He had played for years and years in that system. And the only reason why he left was because he got old. You know,
He got paid well
when he went, but he got paid well while he was there.
And look, New England got a first round pick for him.
Yeah. So
Richard Seymour, same thing.
So, I mean, it was perfect. It was perfect time. He went to Cleveland and got paid again. Yeah. It probably had to be tough to go from winning 3 titles and winning a bunch of games in the 90s and in the 2000s and going to Cleveland.
And his is different than some because he still had enough in the tank where it was, do I go somewhere just for the money and realize we may not be very good my time there? Or do I go there for the ring, but I'm taking a whole lot less on the money side?
Yeah.
Because you look at Corey Dillon, LeGarrette Blount, who they basically said after he had the first stint with him and did well, go out, get your money.
And come back.
And then when things don't go well, we'll bring you back, but you'll still have collected all that money, which has worked out for both parties. And a guy like Fred Taylor, who's the all-time leading rusher in Jaguars history.
Yeah.
But, you know, they were at a different point. They decided to go younger, and they brought him in for a year, too, and said, if you want to win at the end of your career, you come play for us.
And he did. And that's good.
You're good with that.
I mean, yeah, of course, because guys.
As players as a whole, they're good with that?
For the most part, if a guy goes to New England, he knows what he's expecting. He's not expecting no big payday. He's not. I mean, right now, yeah, you know what? Chris Long, he's going to get paid. Chris got it. He's in there short term for the cheap,
right.
But he's played very well. So I see Belichick giving him a good deal, not a great deal, but he'll get a good deal and finish out another 7 years in New England and love it. You know, he's a work hard guy. He's a guy who fits right into that environment, fits right into what you're asking him to do. And fortunately, I mean, his first deal, he made $40 million. So I'm pretty sure he's not really tripping about the fact that They might only
Plus
give me 20.
With some really bad teams where you finally just decided, look, if I haven't won at all, I exactly. got to experience what that feels like. Everybody wins at the college level to some degree. But if you haven't won in the NFL and you've gotten your money and everything else, and there's only one thing left to do, and that's win, that's probably why guys take less and go over there. I was just curious because I know guys in the NFL that said, look, I just can't stand Belichick. I don't believe in what he believes in and what he stands for. And the way he goes about his business is dirty. And I couldn't see myself in that system. And then you hear other people that say, look, for the chance to win late in your career, they give you the opportunity as long as you play nice and play within the system. And I guess we'll get your feelings on Jamie Collins' situation. But to me, yeah. the writing on the wall, based on the quotes that came out, was it didn't have anything to do with having to pay him next year. It seemed more like him not wanting to do things the Belichick way. That's just my take. We'll get yours in a minute. ESPN 97.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. That girl is a real crowd piece. Small world, all the friends know of me. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Travis Johnson, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Welcome to Travis Palooza, otherwise known as the Travis Johnson Music Extravaganza, hey. Featuring Joel Blank. Because all I do is I realize that no matter what else is discussed musically, Travis is getting his way. And whatever crosses his dome piece midway through a segment, the next time coming in or out of a break, he's getting that song. So we got that covered. And I have no bargaining power whatsoever on that one. Before the break, we were talking about would you play for Belichick, and I'm just looking back, and I was trying to get some of these quotes for you, but it just didn't look like, as much as they say it might have been about the money and that he was trying to get paid, Jamie Collins was, they basically got rid of him because there was something that he wasn't doing that was the Belichick way, and they also said that there was other offers out there for him, but unlike Chandler Jones, who they made sure they got to a contender in Arizona,
yeah.
they kind of made sure Jamie Collins went to Cleveland.
They stuck it to him.
I think there's a lot more to that than what was put out there in the media, even though that when you listen to some of Belichick's quotes, he had a couple of little jabs in him that basically said there was something else to it.
Yeah, of course. I mean, Belichick always has a plan. That's one thing. Belichick is like a woman who's been cheated on. She always got a plan. She gonna catch you. You know what I mean? At the end of the day,
There's no fury like a woman scorned.
No, not at all. And the CIA has nothing on a woman with a plan. And they have nothing on Bill Belichick with a plan. You see what I'm saying? And at the end of the day, this guy he's been a great executive. He's been a great coach. And if you don't jump in line, if you don't fall, you know, if you don't fall in line, then he's going to get rid of you. He's going to find a way. It always seems like he gets rid of guys before it goes under, or he gets rid of guys before they're all the way out of their prime, but they about to fall out of it. Remember Adalius Thomas?
Yeah.
Like, how fast did he disappear from being an MVP candidate on defense? And all of a sudden, you never heard of Adalius after that.
But that's the thing, too. I mean, should one guy in one system have the ability to make or break your future NFL career? Because it seems like if Bill Belichick banishes you and says you're awful or bad or not a company guy, that can really hurt them for the rest of their career.
But that's all these coaches. I mean, I can only speak on my behalf, but I know when I got there, it was like Norv basically told me some of the stuff that was said about me. It was like, man, none of that is true. So I can't believe I heard that. And I was like, dang, like these coaches, they gossip more than schoolgirls.
They got,
yeah, like they literally gossip more than middle school girls. And if you go against, and the thing is, here's the thing. They know, just like Roger Goodell, there is only 32 of them. Mm-hmm. And they have all the power. And they realize that they recycle jobs like it's going out of style. So it's not like college football where you got a few college football coaches that genuinely don't like each other. Yeah, there's a couple here that don't like
each other.
Well,
that's the spirit
of competition. Yeah, there's a couple here that don't like each other. But for the most part, they're all butt buddies. You know what I mean? They're all like, this guy didn't.
I was going to say, you're talking about here at the station, and then you mentioned that, and I was like, I'm not mentioning
that. Yeah, but then you see all these guys are like, well, this guy, he didn't do this. And he's like, oh, well, I don't, you know, I remember when Coop got the job here, and it was, you know, I didn't know nothing about Coop at the time, but I know Jerome Mathis was here at the time. He was our Pro Bowl return man. He was in my class. He was he's a fifth or sixth round draft pick out of Hampton at the time. So Jerome goes to the Pro Bowl and he misses the Pro Bowl picture because he's drinking, like most of the guys at the Pro Bowl, but he's late. Oh, I guess he's late for the Pro Bowl picture. And by the time Coop gets here and all of a sudden he just can't stand Jerome and nobody understands why he doesn't like Jerome. Mm-hmm. Well, Shanahan was the Pro Bowl coach that year, the coach that he was late on. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And that whole staff was there. So it was, we don't like Jerome Mathis. This is your guy. Get him right. You know what I mean? And it's like, dude, I just got here. You just met me. So why do we have beef and we just met and I just went to the Pro Bowl?
They wanted you. Oh, the,
no, I'm talking about Jerome Mathis. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? But I'm just, speaking on how it goes down in this league.
And word travels fast too, because at the same time, I know of stories where guys played for coaches and the coaches would step out of a meeting room and say, I want to have that organic setup where all the coaches can speak freely without the head coach in the middle of a meeting so that things can get worked out for the better for the organization. And then we'll go back to regular practice, but there's more dialogue between the coaching staff. What they didn't realize was the head coach was in his office with like a security room full of cameras and microphones. And he was listening to every damn word that was said by every one of these coaches. And then he'd call the coaches into his office and go, what'd you mean when you say this or that or the other thing? And they're like, wait a minute, how do you know that? And finally, the security guys had to take the assistant coaches to a side room and go, do you see what that little thing is in the ceiling or that in the... He's listening to every word you say all the time.
It used to be like that. It used to be like that over on Kirby, where all the meeting rooms had, well, the team meeting rooms had cameras in them. And they used to be like, why they got cameras in them? And the explanation that we were given was, in case you miss a meeting, we'll have it all on tape for you just so you can watch the meeting anyway.
They really gave you that as an excuse? That's terrible.
That was the excuse they gave us, was in case you miss a meeting.
Isn't that disrespectful of how much they think of your intelligence?
Exactly. But we were like,
it's insulting your intelligence.
Exactly. At the end of the day, we were like, but we're pros. We don't ever miss meetings. What are you talking about? We don't ever. If you're sick, you still come into work until they send you home. And normally it's after meetings.
So essentially, much like we talk about the coaching tree of other coaches, the coaching tree also rubs off on the other coaches.
Yeah,
like,
it does.
If it worked for the head coach, then chances are the guys under that tree are going to do the same things.
I mean,
so if the one guy records everything and keeps everything on cameras, then the guy that coached under him, when he gets the head job, is probably going to do the same stuff.
Yeah, no question. I mean, that's why, and, you know, it's tough because, you know, when you start dealing with, you know, some of these coaches have arrogance about them. They self-centered. That's one of the reasons why you see a guy like Kyle Shanahan right now, who probably should get a job because how smart and probably how good of a coach he is. But the arrogance factor from the thing that he's learned from his pop and some of it that rubbed off, you know, but you know, when Coop was, you know, still on that high horse before he got let go here. And from everything I've heard is that Coop has changed a lot since he got that job in Denver. You know what I mean? As far as, I don't know if it's the stress, not the same, or how he's, you know, how he's managing.
Did you watch
him
last night, though? Boy, I'll tell you what.
Yeah, he
looked like he had been through the ringer. I mean, normally he handles stress a lot better, but he had some 10-pound potato sacks under his eyes.
Yeah, he's always had them, though.
But he really looked bad last night.
Just, I think he's tired, man. I mean, for the fact that, yeah, he got the win last year, but think about how stressed his winning last year. Out of all guys who've won championships, have you had any of a more stressful time than winning the way he won every, and like with your star quarterback who's supposed to be, who's a first ballot Hall of Fame, can't throw out routes.
Battle of egos and opinions every single week.
And not just that, you got three quarterbacks in the building between him, John Elway, and Peyton Manning, and all of them in their own right are great at something. Coop was a great college quarterback, a great head football coach. You know what I mean?
You're gonna go great on head football coach.
Yeah, I mean,
I think he's a great offensive coordinator.
Yeah, he is a great offensive coordinator. But I think he's a great head coach as well. I think, but when you mention the greatest head coach, I think that's when you start talking about like the Galaxy League of head coaches. I mean, he's not a Galaxy League head coach. He's a great head coach. He can get it done. He's a player's coach. He's going to be able to teach you the game and do the things which would make him great.
And I would say let me see if you agree with this, but I would say you become a great head football coach when you win a Super Bowl.
And he has.
That's what I'm saying, because he's won a Super Bowl. So I will validate it by that.
Okay.
As opposed to saying some, you know, because it's harder as a head coach to just walk into a situation like in the NBA or otherwise, where you just walk into a hell of a roster.
Yeah.
I think it's harder in the NFL. Oh, no question. You can't walk into an NFL.
You can't walk into 53 guys.
Because you've got to make sure that they're on board with you and on your side every week.
You can't walk into 53 guys.
And he had a hell of a challenge every week doing that because were half the locker room wanted one guy and half wanted the other guy.
Half the guy, exactly. And then you got guys of, you don't want to be disrespectful to a legend.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That right there will follow you and it will haunt you. You know, when you go back and look at, how John Elway was done, you know, even before, who was the coach before,
John Fox?
In Denver. I'm not talking about before Coop. I'm talking about way back when,
Dan Reeves?
Dan Reeves and how they got, I mean, Dan Reeves is a legend in his own right. I mean, when he rubbed John Elway the wrong way, or it was, you know, it was either him or Wade at the time. I mean, it's a lot of stories that you can go back and when you start rubbing legends the wrong way, that stuff follows you as well.
Sounds like your weekends. So anyway, before we get to more, more discussions on sports and other things, I don't know if you know this or not, but at Infuse Energy, Josh, who owns the company, he decides to put a joke of the month in the bill just to kind of keep it lighthearted. And one of the jokes is, why do Transformers hum? Because they don't know the words. That sounds like your karaoke last segment. It was awful because you didn't know the words. Hey. At least in karaoke, they put the words on the screen. But I'm a little bit concerned that even if you had the words, you wouldn't sing them. That was awful.
Hey, people loved it. Right now, I'm getting texts.
One person does not deem to be people.
I have 100 tweets right now.
The peoples have spoken, and one person said they liked it. It's not coming back. Nick, that's never – I don't care what he requests. The sing-along with Travis segment can be something we do on the country station someday. And since we don't have one, we don't have to worry about it. But I do want to tell you about Infuse Energy because it's a great place to do your energy business, whether it's for retail or for your own house. You've got to talk to the people at Infuse Energy. Why? Because they don't try and get the most money that they can out of you, and they suck it out of you by getting you locked into a deal. And once that deal expires, they don't let you know that they're going to charge you the average going rate, which is normally very high, and it just takes money out of your pocketbook that you don't need to be giving up. They were always going to be honest with you. They're going to give you the best plan that fits the best situation for you. When you use your energy, how much energy you use, do you use it more on weekends, on nights, during the day? They'll tailor make a plan for you, and they'll never try and pull the wool over your eyes. They'll guarantee that they tell you when your plan's about to expire and or if there's a better plan out there for you, and they'll make it all work. InfuseEnergy.com or call 844-INFUSE2. You join Infuse Energy today and you enter the promo code ESPN975 and you get a $25 bill credit right off the top. Infuse energy into your life by getting Infuse because it's affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. They provide energy for homes and businesses, 100% green energy at your fingertips. Sign up and choose a green plan which offsets electricity use with renewable energy credits, and that decreases your carbon footprint. It's a no-lose situation. It's a win-win. Try Infuse Energy today. That's InfuseEnergy.com, 844-INFUSE2.
ESPN
97.5.
More?
Sailing my mind with his words.
Why?
Killing me softly with this song. Killing me softly with this song. Telling
my whole life. Let me write this down. Whether it's Lauryn Hill or Roberta Flack. Neither one of them has any business being tarnished by the fact that Travis Johnson's trying to sing with them.
Hold on. Here's one thing.
I heard a good song.
Again, he didn't know the lyrics.
I heard she had
style.
I can't sing about no dude, but I heard about she.
You can't sing, period. Forget about singing about a dude.
I sing. I can sing. No, I can sing.
No. You think you can sing.
That boy good.
Yeah, boy good. He likes inch with chocolate. He good. He likes velvet. Only better. No. All right, so we're done with that. Nick, that's enough shenanigans. I'm afraid to leave the room now during a break because when I come back, things are all kittywampus. You know what kittywampus means? No, they're completely out of whack.
Hey, I was trying to get the BGs played for you, but one of our faithful listeners, Dr. Dre on 290, made a request.
But he wants Barry's, I forget what was his name, Nick? Like Barry's Nutsack or something like that? Or Barry's Banana Hammock or something? What? He changed his name for Barry. He's a Barry guy.
He's singing about the guy.
Oh, boy. So Joe Garcia wants to know, why not do a karaoke Friday and have a couple of callers sing along with you? Hey. Now we got to get callers in the mix, too? No, because then the mix board and it won't sound right. And first of all, it would be brutal for my ears. I'm not for it.
Hey, man, don't be a player hater. Be an innovator.
Don't hate the player, hate the game, okay? Yeah. Don't play or hate, appreciate. I can go all day with you on these things, but it doesn't make any difference. The bottom line is that you found a home, so keep it. You got rid of all the crap that you've been hanging out with in the past, and you're hanging out at a good spot.
I am hanging out with you.
Yeah, exactly. But don't tarnish it by trying to become something that you're not.
Yeah, I do sing.
You are not a nightclub performer.
Yes. Listen, I'm going to start singing. I'm going to find me a nightclub to sing at every
week. Please, because then you would. Look, this is what Barry does, too. One could be the hobby.
What?
I don't care how you work it out.
It would only be my hobby.
Okay, so.
Because if people don't show up, it's a hobby.
Comedy is his career.
I'm not trying to have a career. No.
So you could find a hobby by just.
Yeah, no, I'm not trying to have.
They have spotlight karaoke down in Midtown. Go let it rip.
Yeah, I just want to sit on stage and somebody bring me a scotch and I'd be like, how y'all doing tonight?
Well, and then before you know it, you're Matthew McConaughey doing commercials. Get you some wild turkey. Okay, so we've covered a little football. More than a little. We've talked college. We've talked about a lot of different things. One thing we haven't talked about yet is we talked about the fact that the Rockets were surprising some people. They got off to a little bit of a hotter start than people had expected, but they did beat the Dallas Mavericks twice, back-to-back, and Dallas looks like they're awful. They played a game that I cannot get that 2.5 hours of my life back last night. I watched them play my Milwaukee Bucks. And in the fourth quarter with about a minute to play, it was like 76-75. And I'm going, it's like watching paint dry. It's just ridiculously bad. They finally won their first game. But then you look at the Rockets and you say, okay, they're actually defending a little bit. Much like I said here on the show, and you like to say that when you say it right, I said that Harden was going to have an MVP-like season. His numbers are through the roof. But is he making the rest of his team better? That's the question that you have to ask. And you don't have to answer it this week. You have to answer it by the end of the year because that will dictate where they finish. Well, they started looking like they were playing some defense, and they started looking like he was making some people better. But they started looking like the same old James Harden and the Rockets Saturday night when Dwight Howard and company made them look pretty bad and blew them out. And I'll say this. Dwight got a really raw deal on a call where KJ McDaniels decided he was going to try and throw down on Dwight Howard. And Dwight made the statement that he's not done yet because he met him at the Apex and he blocked the crap out of it. Yeah. And I love the fact, and I love me some Matt Bullard, and he's a great dude and he's a really good analyst. But Matt Bullard, because he's a company guy, tried 6 different ways on replays to convince everybody it wasn't the hand that got all ball and threw the shot away. It was the off arm. The off arm wasn't even close. So the bottom line is, and that was right after Dwight dunked on Montrezl Harrell on a backdoor alley-oop and showed that he had some statements to make. At the end of the day, the statement that was made is the Hawks beat the Rockets and are a better team than the Rockets right now.
Yeah.
Does that mean the Rockets can get better? Yes. But they also lost to your Lakers. Now, that loss looks better because the Lakers are beating people like Golden State.
Lake Show.
They're 4-2. They're running no offense at all, but they have enough talent to where they're scoring more than the other team.
Because they're so young.
Which is what I see the Rockets doing. But the difference is the Rockets aren't young.
That's it. And the Rockets can do it because that's the biggest issue. When we talk about, you know, we were just talking about the NFL and the youth movement in it. Now we talk about the basketball. And right now, yeah, youth hurts you in certain instances. But if you got guys that can run all day and can out-athletic you or, you know, down the court, then that always going to come in. Because guess what? They're not trying to take 1,000 shots a game. They're not like Golden State the other day who was trying to wake up their three-point shot to get back in the game. Wake up their three-point shot. End of the day, these guys driving to the basket, they're going to try to get to that foul line all day long. And, yeah, they're going to shoot a jumper here and there, but they're not living and dying behind the arc.
Well, but at the same time, too, what do I keep telling you? You can be a running team, right? You can be an up-tempo team, but you still have to have a low-post presence. Yes. You still have to have a way to go to
And Randall.
Okay, those are your Lakers. They're 4-2, but they haven't really played anybody either, although they beat Golden State. I'll give them that. Look, and again, because they have a youth movement going on, they have a bigger kind of a bigger fudge window because of the fact that they're going to get better.
Yeah.
I don't know that the Rockets are going to get better in the years to come because they're locked down to contracts they made this offseason by giving all that money to Gordon, by giving all that money to Anderson, by re-upping James Harden at that level. You kind of limit yourself as to how much more you can do to build around you. And I said, you've got to make the pieces around you better by being James Harden. And you also have to have pieces around you that make the team better by knowing their role. I think they're still trying to figure out their role. One thing that they have to figure out is there anyone on that team that can score on the block?
Here's my question for you. Because of all the money tied up in James Harden and the rest of those guys that you named, mm-hmm. are the Rockets going to be the Lakers of the last few years coming sooner than later? As far as when they gave Kobe all that money and really couldn't do much, they had draft picks, but they were...
So to one extent, that falls on James Harden. Like, how greedy are you going to get? Because the last 2 years of Kobe, you can say whatever you want, but that was, I'm getting mine at the top of how much I can get before I bow out.
Yes.
And he took 2 years and he took 24, whatever it was.
$50 million.
So there you go, 24 and a half each year or whatever it was.
Yeah.
Okay. If James Harden decides, hey, I've collected a huge check, a couple of huge checks. My Adidas check is huge. But if I really want to win and I still know that this is the place that's going to give me the most money and also give me the most control, because let's face it, he's got more control than most in that franchise.
He's got more control than total?
Control!
That would be Janet Jackson.
Yeah,
okay,
you're right.
So with that being said, would he relinquish having to be paid at a max level to get more talent in so that they have a better chance to win? That is a question that's going to fall solely on the whiskers of the beard. Because I think that as much as everybody here saw the moves of this offseason and said, man, they're going to get better. And I like the fact that they added some shooters. But the fact that they don't have a low post presence, they don't have any way to go out and get one. They're screwing around with Demo, and they're not giving him enough money. And I'm not sure how much Demo's worth, but I know one thing. Demo can score on the low block.
He can give you some points on the block.
Right, he can give you some offensive moves down low. And you're going to need that from time to time. Montrezl Harrell is a great fit, and I've said that because he can get it up and down the floor in a D'Antoni system. But you got to be able to hold your own on the low post offensively.
And here's the thing. With your boy Demo, if they get him in, he can score points. But you know where they don't need him? The only how they don't need him, if they, like you said, race for the 9 spot and right. don't make the playoffs, and all of a sudden you're like, oh, well, it doesn't matter anyway. But if you get to the playoffs, there's no way you win games in the playoffs without his presence. There's no way you even make it to the playoffs without his presence. So I think you pay the man. You might not pay him what he wants, but come close to it and get him back in the building. So then, you can win some games.
Well, by the way, he told me after all these rumors came out, the Rockets made an offer of 7. Don't think that the Rockets didn't plant that to make everybody say, oh, they're at least trying to get Demo.
Yeah.
He said, my agent called. We got nothing from the Rockets. There was nothing there.
What did they put out? They offered him $7 million?
Seven a year. Yeah, for at least 1 year. So let's get fact and fiction straight. The fact of the matter is, it's fiction unless you hear it straight from the horse's mouth. And by the way, Secretariat in this case, which is Demo, said there ain't no offer and he hasn't gotten one yet. So they're not actively trying to get him back in the fold. So that bodes me the question of what are they trying to do to get better, and is there enough room to do anything? We'll ask you that if you want to join the show, 713-780-ESPN, or you can hit us up on Twitter. We're here till 4, ESPN 97.5.